I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is already a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, always streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm Straight Flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Merrill Hodge is going to stop by coming up 2 hours and 20 minutes from now at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific time. I saw a tweet today, and it's from Bleacher Report. And the tweet simply read this: quarterbacks that have made two Super Bowl appearances during the first 5 years of their career. So if you've been a quarterback, two Super Bowl appearances, first 5 years of your career. Here are the eight names on that list. Patrick Mahomes, I would say already the third greatest quarterback of all time. John Elway, two-time Super Bowl champion. Russell Wilson has a case to be made that he will be a Hall of Famer. I don't think his career in the later years has gone the way that he wanted to, but before that, Russ has 9 Pro Bowls, when I guess it actually meant something to make the Pro Bowl, and he's won a Super Bowl. Kurt Warner, Troy Aikman, the GOAT, Tom Brady, Big Ben Roethlisberger. So those are 7 of the 8. Big Ben, Tom Brady, Troy Aikman, Kurt Warner, Russell Wilson, John Elway, Patrick Mahomes. Quarterbacks that have made two Super Bowl appearances through the first 5 years of their career. The other is Jalen Hurts, who we will see 2 Sundays from now in his second Super Bowl as the Eagles are going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the last time these two teams met in the Super Bowl, yes, Kansas City got the victory, but Jalen Hurts was the best pound-for-pound player in that game. I think today we need to have an honest conversation about Jalen Hurts. And I think this is the week to realize that Jalen Hurts is arguably the most disrespected player in the NFL right now. Think about this entire year. The Philadelphia Eagles ended up getting to another Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles were one of the top 5 teams in the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles were back and forth, right? One seed, two seed in the chase in the NFC. They ultimately ended up getting the 2 seed. But Philadelphia, with their quarterback, never really gets the credit. What do we say about the Eagles? Up, you got the number 1 defense with Jalen Carter, with Darius Big Play Slay, with Zach Bond, with Vic Fangio. Or, oh, when it looks at the offense, Jalen Hurts is good, but it's easy to do that when you have Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, a great offensive line, right? Dallas Goedert at the tight end position. We don't like to give credit to Jalen Hurts. That's what I realize is the trend. Because the way we consume the quarterback position should be different, but a lot of us are still stuck in our old ways, and it was the way that you were raised where it's how many passing touchdowns does somebody have? And how many passing yards does somebody have? Well, we have so many multidimensional quarterbacks now that you have to encompass all of it. And if I just told you this, that Jalen Hurts, right? I know he's been in the league for 5 years, but really a starter for 4 years. If I were to tell you that Jalen Hurts in that stretch has 140 touchdowns to 39 interceptions and 9 lost fumbles, you would say, yeah, I'd sign up for that. If I didn't tell you who the quarterback was, I just said in a 4-year stretch, anonymous quarterback, 4 to 5 year stretch, has 140 total touchdowns, 39 interceptions, and 9 lost fumbles. Stu, you're a Raiders fan. Your team sucks. Sorry to do that to you, Stu, but it's just the way that it goes. If I told you the Raiders could have a quarterback in a 4 to 5 year stretch that would have 140 total touchdowns, to 39 interceptions, and 9 lost fumbles, you would say?
I would take that in a heartbeat.
Right? Now, out of those 140 touchdowns, 85 of them are passing touchdowns. So I saw it last week, and I was actually happy that it happened, where they actually put up total touchdowns on the screen. Because a lot of these times, these networks, Fox, CBS, NBC, Amazon Prime, like whatever it is, ESPN, however you watch your major football game, they will put up the graphic of quarterback A and quarterback B, right? The two quarterbacks on the field. And one quarterback could be a mobile quarterback, and sometimes they don't show the rushing touchdowns, which is just crazy to me. But here's what I think is the biggest thing about Jalen Hurts. The dude, everyone has an ego, right? You're an NFL quarterback. Everyone, if you're going to be a successful NFL quarterback, you have to have an alpha ego. Jalen Hurts, though, doesn't come off as someone with an alpha ego. Jalen Hurts doesn't come off as someone that really cares about his stats. And don't get me wrong, Jalen Hurts could be passive-aggressive when talking to the press. I've been in those press conferences, right, where it was after the Steelers game. Isn't this what everyone wanted to see when they got the ball more to A.J. Brown? Or even after the NFC Championship game, he talked about like the whole the straitjacket that he's been in when it comes to the quarterback position. But you look at the career of Jalen Hurts so far and what he's just done in the NFL. Like, hey, in college, he wasn't appreciated at Alabama. Yes, Alabama pulled him at halftime. It ended up being the right decision. They ended up winning that national championship game. For some reason, he stuck around, and then Tua got hurt in that SEC championship game the following year. Boom, Jalen Hurts plays well in that moment, helps him win the SEC championship. Then he goes to Oklahoma, Heisman Trophy finalist in the college football playoff. And when he became the second-round pick of the Eagles, it was like, how could you do that to Carson Wentz? How could you do that? I'll never forget. Since I was doing the Thursday draft show coverage, and then I did my show right after that on Friday as well, and we still did coverage of it, we had Donovan McNabb on. I'll never forget this. We had McNabb on to react to the first round, because I think that was Jordan Love's draft class too, if memory serves me right. So that was a big takeaway. And then we're reacting to, I forget what it was. But whenever that draft class was, we were reacting to the first round of the draft with Donovan McNabb. And the moment after Donovan McNabb hung up, it was, oh, the Eagles are selecting Jalen Hurts. And we called back Donovan McNabb. And Donovan McNabb was like, I was waiting for how long it would take you guys to call me back, because we needed his reaction on the entire thing. And I was right, because that was that 2020 draft class. Huh. You know what's wild about that draft class? So that's Joe Burrow. That's Tua Tagovailoa. That's Justin Herbert. And then Jordan Love was in the 26th pick of that draft. You know what's weird when we talk about that? Because those guys played right away, and Jordan Love did it. Stu, I feel like Jordan Love's never associated with his actual draft class. Am I wrong on that? For saying that?
Yeah, it's funny. When you were bringing these guys up, I was trying to remember in my head which guys were in that draft class, and I totally forgot about him. Yeah,
because I'm recalling the story here, and I remember talking about Jordan Love with McNabb, and I said to myself, hey, that doesn't seem right. Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa, but that's the same draft class. But I guess because Love sat on the bench for 2 years is why he doesn't really get associated with that draft class. But that's the thing. McNabb in the moment actually was more complimentary than what the rest of the national world was in talking about that. And since Jalen Hurts has got to Philadelphia, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles go in his first year as a starter to a wild card round when they got off to a miserable start. Remember Sirianni's doing the flower analogy? And everyone was like, uh-oh. I remember talking to Seth Jordan, and he goes, this guy may be cooked already. And I thought he was going to be one and done, Sirianni. I really did. Then the second year they go to the Super Bowl, last year was a disaster because they're 10-1 and they were just dog bleep down the stretch. But they were backed into a corner and had a few turbulent moments to start the year. But now they're 60 minutes away from winning it all. So it's wild to me when I had Jalen Hurts as a top 10 quarterback entering this season. And some people are like, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's a top 10 quarterback. I'm like, well, the guy's been in a Super Bowl. He was the best player on the field when he played in that Super Bowl statistically. And this guy in a four-year stretch has about 140 total touchdowns. And the turnovers, when you look at them, are 39 interceptions and 9 lost fumbles. And he's made the playoffs all 4 years, wild card round, Super Bowl appearance, lost in the wild card round, and then Super Bowl appearance again. That's pretty damn good. And I know what people are going to say. Oh, but Zach, could he go to New England and have success? No, I don't think he could. I don't think Jalen Hurts could go to New England with the team that they just had this past year, with arguably the worst offensive line in the league, no number one weapon, and pretty much all weapons that are below average. I don't think he could have success. That's not me saying he's a bad quarterback, though. You know, I'll say this. You put Patrick Mahomes in New England this past year. I don't even know if Patrick Mahomes is making the playoffs with the Patriots. But what I will say, if you want to have a fair conversation, because all quarterbacks, right, need something around them to win. You may not need a number one wide receiver, but you need a good offensive line. Yeah, you may not need a number one wide receiver, but you need a good running back, right? Like, you have to have something else in order to win a Super Bowl. But you look at a team like Atlanta, for example. Just play this game. Atlanta has a good wide receiver in Drake London. They have a really damn good running back in Bijan Robinson. If you tell me you put Jalen Hurts on the Atlanta Falcons this past year, do I think the Atlanta Falcons could have done enough to make the postseason if Jalen Hurts started for Atlanta? Absolutely. I think they would have won that division. So that's the conversation where I think people miss the boat. They don't look at the total touchdowns. They just look at the passing touchdowns. And also, people go, oh, well, take the talent away from him. He's not going to be as good. No crap. It's a team game. But if you put Jalen Hurts on a lot of other teams that were like teetering on making the postseason, do I think he could have been the difference maker? Yeah, I could. Because he doesn't care how they win as long as they do win. That's what he cares about. And I'm not saying that these quarterbacks necessarily are a problem. But like, do I think if Jalen Hurts was, I know Tua wasn't healthy, but if Jalen Hurts played all 17 regular season games, and I know Jalen missed a few at the end of the season, but if he played all 17 for the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins can make the playoffs with him? Yes. You know, you look around at the other destinations. If Jalen Hurts is a starting quarterback on the Jets this year, do I think they can make the playoffs? Yes. So, like, you go through it and you look at it. You know, do the Browns win more than 3 games this year if Jalen Hurts is their quarterback? Absolutely. You know, does Jacksonville at 4-13, could they be a playoff team with Jalen Hurts? Yes. The Colts, if they had Jalen Hurts, that's a great example. Michael Pittman Jr., good. Jonathan Taylor, really damn good. If you put Jalen Hurts on that team, they're 8-9 right now. The Texans ended up being 10-7. Do I think that Jalen Hurts with the Colts could have been just as good as the Texans this year? Absolutely. So let's have an apples-to-apples comparison. If you're just going to tell me, oh, if you take the talent away from him, he's not going to be that good. All right. Like, New England is as bare as it comes right now on the offensive side of the ball. You tell me what quarterback puts New England in the postseason. And if you just say it's Mahomes, all right, I know Jalen Hurts is not better than Patrick Mahomes. But if you tell me that you take a team with some pieces, not all the pieces the Eagles have, but some pieces, can Jalen Hurts make them better? Absolutely. So I do believe that the way we talk about Jalen Hurts, in a year where they are back in the Super Bowl, and he has gotten very little credit, I think he's one of the more disrespected, if not the most disrespected player in the NFL. Stu, give me a name here. Let's go quarterbacks first, because I asked Stu and Sampson to compile a little list here. I said player. I wanted to say quarterback. So give me your quarterback who you think is the most disrespected in the NFL.
I think it's Baker Mayfield. I think he had a really good year this year. He's had a couple of decent years, and he had the second most touchdown passes this year, the third most yards. You wouldn't really think that. You would think he'd be somewhere maybe between 6 and 10. But he puts up some really good stats, and I think he's someone that isn't considered as good as he probably is.
And also, the disrespect for Baker started in Cleveland. Now, I get it wasn't all the Browns' fault, and Baker wasn't perfect in Cleveland. But you can't really get too picky when you're the Cleveland Browns. You've had like 3,000 quarterbacks since you guys became a franchise once again, and you've always got it wrong. This guy took you to the playoffs, you know, and, you know, won you a playoff game, and you were so ready to get rid of him because, I get it, you thought he was just good, not great, and you thought Deshaun Watson could be great, and that backfired on you. So Baker's a good one, and I love the last 2 years that he's put together with the Buccaneers. Samter, who's your most disrespected quarterback?
For me, I don't even think it's close. It's Dak Prescott.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Everyone goes after Dak as like this scrub. I understand the lights are bright in Dallas, and he's fallen short in the playoffs. He's led the NFL in multiple categories. He's led the NFL in touchdown passes. He's won 62% of his games since he took over. He has a career 67 completion percentage. He's been over 4,000 yards multiple times, over 30 touchdowns multiple times. The dude is an elite-level passer. He just falls short in the playoffs, and he has, like, the circus of an organization that he has to deal with. But, like, Dak...
So that's where I'll push back.
Yeah.
I can't ever use the word elite with Dak, but that's where the conversation starts. Because he gets paid elite money, right? So then when, and a lot of guys get paid, hot take of the day, a lot of guys in the NFL get paid elite money and they're not elite players. But I'm never going to fault someone for getting what you could get in the most violent sport that we have in American sports, you know, in our country. But you look at a guy like Dak Prescott, he's a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback, a very good quarterback. But when you get paid $60 million a year, people expect Dak Prescott to be a top five quarterback in the league. People expect Dak Prescott to go get to an NFC title game, and that team always comes up short. But I do agree with you. I do think because it's so one way or another in this world, right? You either have to be all in or all out. There can't be just the acknowledgement that Dak is very good, but he's not great. But then you're right. People talk about him like he is a bum when he's the farthest thing from a bum. Now, with that being said, since you guys kind of did this, give me your player that you think is disrespected that's not a quarterback.
So I will ironically go with Baker Mayfield's teammate and Mike Evans. Now, I don't think people don't think Evans is good.
You're Mr. Buccaneer.
I know, I am.
Fire the cannons, fire the cannons.
I think when we talk about, as a whole, when we talk about the best receivers in the league, you know, Jamar Chase gets brought up, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill. I feel like Mike Evans is always kind of like on the outside of that list.
Yeah.
And look what he's done, 1,000 yards every year, over 100 career touchdowns. Just an elite receiver that I don't think gets put into that list, and he probably should.
So you know why? Mike Evans is one of my favorite players in the league. I've drafted him for years in fantasy football, and I always feel as if it's a great value pick because it's not a sexy name like you're saying, a Justin Jefferson, a Tyreek Hill, or a Jamar Chase. He's just so damn consistent. You know, he is just so damn consistent. He's not your diva wide receiver. I'm not saying all those guys just mentioned are necessarily, but, you know, because Justin Jefferson's not a diva. You could argue Jamar Chase is. You could argue Tyreek Hill is. I would say it's the case. But anyway, you look at Mike Evans. He doesn't have that flashy personality, and he's not an explosive player. But the dude just as productive. He's just so productive, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. So that's a good one. Samter, who's your player?
It's funny, Stu mentioned a wide receiver. He also mentioned Jamar Chase, his teammate T. Higgins. Everyone's like, oh, T. Higgins, good receiver, good number two. But, you know, he probably just gets open because Jamar Chase is constantly getting these double teams. T. Higgins is elite. He is an elite level. I say this word elite. This dude.
See, this difference between you and I. You use elite. Like, it's like giving out candy on Halloween.
I use elite in the sense, from a wide receiver standpoint, is he a number one wide receiver on a team?
Oh, yeah, he is.
T. Higgins is a number one wide receiver. He just happens to be the number two because Jamar Chase is top three in the NFL.
You know who T. Higgins is? I'll tell you exactly who T. Higgins is. T. Higgins is like when Anquan Boldin was with the Cardinals, where we all knew Anquan Boldin was a really good wide receiver. Anquan Boldin, though, when he got away from the Cardinals, that's when he got a lot more publicity because it was out of the shadow of Larry Fitzgerald, who's arguably one of the top five greatest wide receivers that the game has ever seen. And a guy like T. Higgins, he has a decision to make where are you going to stay or are you going to go? And if you go, you may get more individual pop. But you may not have, and I know the Bengals missed the playoffs last year, you may not have as much team success, but they were in a Super Bowl a few years ago. And that's the trend that I'm fascinated to see what T. Higgins does. Now, the Bengals are cheap and probably won't pay him anyway because they still got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. And they just paid Joe Burrow. But will receivers now, when you see these duos, like a Tyreek Hill and a Jalen Waddle, you know, and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, right? Teams are now understanding with how much they pass. You not only need one number one wide receiver, you need two number one wide receivers. So interesting names there. You know, because when I was talking about just players, not quarterbacks, I expected Dak was going to be there. I wasn't thinking Baker, but Baker is a phenomenal one. And I threw out Jalen Hurts. When I just opened up the players, I had no clue which way you guys were going to go. And I was not anticipating Mike Evans and T. Higgins to be mentioned. Alrighty, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Who is the most disrespected player in the NFL? Coming on back. All right. It is Zach Gelb's show, Infinity Sports Network. Someone's got some splaining to do. Mike, I'll ask you a question here. I got courted today by a colleague of ours. When I got in, had a complaint. Do you think the complaint was about you? Or do you think the complaint was about Stu? Who do you think the complaint was about, if I was to just ask you, without giving you any background?
Knowing that nobody ever complains about anything to do with Stu, it was clearly about me.
Survey says, Stu was being an instigator yesterday. And
no.
Stu was being a jackass yesterday. So Anthony Gallo, who does a great job on the digital side.
Gallo doesn't count.
No, he does. He does. I like Anthony Gallo. You know what? Like you two could always knock people down around here. I try to uplift everyone. I try to be the motivational speaker around here for everyone. I try to, you know, people that are failing in life, I try to suck the best out of them and then make a way that they go advance their career. That's what I try to do. I'm like a vampire, right? I grab all their insecurities out of them and I make sure that they find a way to go elevate to greatness. That's what I try to do. But Anthony Gallo brought in his girlfriend yesterday. So she wanted to see the office, whatever, you know, Gallo brings her in. So, you know, I had a nice conversation with the two of them, very nice couple. And Anthony Gallo goes, oh, this is Zach. He's the one that always says nice things to me. He always compliments me. That's literally how I was introduced to his girlfriend. Because I guess the girlfriend's like, hey, you got to lose a little weight. And I'm like, oh, Gal, you look good, man. That's a nice shirt that you're wearing. And I wouldn't say those things if they aren't true. But that's how I kind of view Anthony Gallo, who I really like around here. So yesterday they brought in a bunch of donuts. Dunkin' Donuts did like a whole donut drop to the station. And I heard not one but two people made the same joke.
Three people.
Wait, I'll tell you the two, then you tell me who the third was. And Gallo courts me, he goes, you know, I'm very disappointed in Stu and Hickey. I go, what do those two jackasses do now? And he goes, well, Stu walked over and he goes, in front of my girlfriend, hey, Gallo, by the way, there's donuts over there. What, you have two already? And then I guess Hickey walked over and he said the same damn thing. So who was the third person?
The third person would be Sean Morath.
And he knows a thing or two about eating seven donuts. Why do you guys have to do Gallo like that? And, you know, he brings his girlfriend in. You could tell Anthony Gallo he was, like, all proper yesterday. He wasn't a degenerate yesterday. He's not screaming, yelling. He's, like, acting nice and sweet. And you could tell he was a little bit nervous, you know, throwing his girlfriend basically to the wolves here at 345 Hudson Street.
Like a different person, basically.
And you need to go there. And when a man is just trying to impress his woman, and you just try to basically take his kneecaps out, Stu. If it was Santa, I would expect it. If I was expecting there to be like a weasel and make like a witty comment, it would be Santa. You, sweet Stu, that we always think is right. Sweet Stu. Everyone loves Stu. Stu's the greatest
problem.
Thing in the world. You have an evil side to you.
There might be. Now for context, to be fair, he is my best friend for like 30 years.
Have you met his girlfriend before?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we know each other. So it was more tongue-in-cheek just to get a reaction out of him. I may or may not have asked Hickey to do the same thing, which is why he did it.
So
to
you
make
were the ringleader.
Yes.
Did you tell Morass?
I did
that
not.
As well?
He did that on his own.
Oh my goodness gracious! All right, so you and Gallo have been best friends. I knew that for 30 years, but like, what's your relationship like with his girlfriend? Because, like, sometimes, right, a buddy, you know, has a girlfriend, serious girlfriend, and you don't really know much about the girlfriend. Like, you guys have, like, double date, like, hung out, all that stuff?
Yeah, like, between 5 and 10 times.
What was her reaction when you said it?
So I didn't look. I think she just, like, looked at him.
Because basically what you did was you basically said, hey, fatso, there's, like, 7 donuts over there. Did you already fill your gullet with them? That's basically what you did.
Pretty much. Without saying that, yes, that's pretty much what I did.
You're an evil person. You son of a bitch. Seriously, you are an evil person. Talking about evil, we'll get an update with Manny Rodriguez coming up in a few moments. And Manny, I have something I want to play for you, and I need an explanation. So you're going to have some explaining to do as well.
Oh, dear. All right.
So I will get to that coming up momentarily. But right now, I saw Andrew Berry came out the other day and was basically like, we wouldn't even entertain 2 first-round picks for Myles Garrett. Here's my question. Why not? Like, don't get me wrong. Myles Garrett is one of the most fierce defensive players in the NFL. He is an unbelievable player. The Browns are nowhere close. And I know things could change quickly in this league, but you missed on your quarterback. You gave up all your picks to go get that quarterback that ended up being horrible. You had the 2nd overall pick in the draft. If I'm Myles Garrett and you say you want to win a championship, why the heck are you staying in Cleveland? You know, could you tell me the Browns get in the postseason again within the next 3 years? Absolutely. I would safely bet a lot of things that in the next 5 years, right, the remaining prime years of Myles Garrett's career, that the Browns don't get to a Super Bowl or they don't even get to a conference championship game. Hot take, I know, sizzling hot. So if I'm Myles Garrett, I would say I'm one of the best players, period, in the league. Let me go to a place where I can go actually win a championship. Now, I'll throw 2 more names out there. TJ Watt and Micah Parsons. I'll go around the room here. Should TJ Watt or Micah Parsons want to go to a different team? Just give me a yes or a no, no explanation. Stu, should TJ Watt want to go to a new team? Yes or no?
Yes.
Samter, yes or no?
No way.
Manny Rodriguez?
I'll say no.
No. I'm going to say yes. I don't think TJ Watt has the cojones to request a trade out of Pittsburgh. I don't. TJ Watt is, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the league. But I don't think TJ Watt would go into the Steelers organization and their brass and say, hey, I want out right now when he's still in his prime. Because the Steelers, they're still viewed as a gold standard organization. They're still viewed as a very good organization. But they're nowhere close to winning a Super Bowl. This is an organization, they haven't won 1 lousy playoff game since the 2016 season. So yes, I think TJ Watt should request a trade. I don't think he will, though. Now, here will be a fun one. Micah Parsons, who I would argue is maybe the most polarizing player in the NFL. He plays for the Cowboys. He talks a lot of smack. He is a heck of a player that a lot of teams would want. But the Cowboys, right, we all know their history. They haven't sniffed an NFC title game or a Super Bowl since the 1995 season. Stu, should Micah Parsons request a trade, yes or no?
Yeah.
Samter, yes or no on Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I'll say yes.
Manny?
Make it 3, yes.
I'm going to say no.
Why is he like this?
No, here's why. Micah Parsons is basically what the Cowboys are. He is someone that's all about the drama. He loves the podcasting world, right? And I have no problem with the podcast. And I'm not saying that he doesn't care about winning, but the Cowboys don't care about winning. The Cowboys care about creating drama, being in the headlines, being stars, all that stuff. And I think Micah Parsons prioritizes those other things than doing whatever it takes to win. He is one of the best players in the league, period. If I'm him, though, I think him and Dallas is the perfect match. They are the perfect match for one another, just in my opinion. Yes, Anther.
You're right in that sense that it feels like his personality matches that of the Dallas Cowboys' greatest show and America's team. But this is, I think, why he needs to get out of Dallas.
Fair.
The dude has had 13.5, 14, and 12 sacks in 13 games this year.
And he was a heck of a leader and teammate this
year. He is, we've talked about, you know, the 5 best pass rushers. He's in that elite class of the best of the best, without question. But I think people diminish his impact because of all that stuff, because of his podcast. podcast because of the talking, because of Jerry Jones, because of the Cowboys' failures and their defensive struggles over the past few years. He individually, if he goes somewhere else and keeps doing this, he'll start getting the recognition legitimately that he might be, if not the best, like among that T.J. Watt group.
Well, I think he gets the recognition. I just don't think it's
crazy.
But he
gets knocked down a lot, though.
No, I don't agree with that. Everyone views him as a top five pass rusher in the league. Heck, most people view him as the third best pass rusher in the league, and I think that's a little bit too quick. I'd rather have Max Crosby than Micah Parsons. I said that before. But T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett are just better. They're just better in terms of what they have done so far in the NFL, and those guys have been around longer. Now, I got to get to Manny. I need you to take me through something here, okay? You sure you're ready to do this?
I am nodding, yes.
Okay. So you're not going to the Super Bowl, right?
That's correct. No.
But Maggie and Perloff are?
And EJ, yes.
And EJ is as well.
Yeah.
And I love going on the road with Maggie, Perloff, and EJ. We had a blast last year in Las Vegas. And I know EJ wasn't a part of the show when we were all together in Kansas City for the draft. I saw a show promo.
Yeah.
That was just released on Instagram.
Yeah.
Now, before you comment,
okay,
we need everyone else to be the judge. I know you can't see it, but you can hear it. Stu Kovacs, fire away.
All right, guys, let's give them something before New Orleans, all right? And a one, and a two, and a oh, yeah, let's go. Awesome. Take five. I think we got it. Sound really great.
Let's go.
Awesome.
Get it.
Your thoughts on the promo, now hearing the final product.
That is what Grammys are made of. That is a Grammy-winning performance out of that quintuplet.
I think that was, you know, like when I think of jazz music, Fats Waller, I think of.
Sure.
You guys were not even close to Fats Waller.
I strongly disagree. If you play that back, you can really hear the passion that we're playing with, especially Perloff. I mean, Perloff really...
You guys sounded like you had five hurricanes, which is a drink in New Orleans, if you're not familiar.
Oh, I
that's what
New
you
Orleans.
Would sound like if you had five hurricanes.
Well, you know what? Taylor Swift is one of the best artists in the world, and some people don't see eye to eye with her music. You know what? Everybody has their opinions, even the wrong ones like yours, and, you know, we'll just keep going with it. But you know what? That is, a Grammy-winning performance.
Now, can I just ask a simple question here?
I like simple
You guys were using, like, what, like plastic trumpets or something like that? Is that what they were?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When did you record this, just wondering?
Like a week ago-ish.
And you guys, right, are pretending to play the trumpets, right?
Yeah, trumpets, saxophones. We're not pretending. Those actually made sounds.
Hey, Mike, remember a week ago when you saw that there was a plastic trumpet in the newsroom and you picked it up and you put your mouth on it and you started to airplay it?
Oh, no.
Samter, I put my tongue in that thing. I did not touch it afterwards.
Yeah, well, I said to Samter, I go, you picked that up and you put your mouth on that? I go, you have no clue where that's been.
I Frenched that thing like I was in Paris.
Yeah. I will say this, of that crew, I would choose Manny to be the one whose instrument I use next. I mean, Perloff, I don't know where that's been. I can't trust EJ either.
And then
Bogish, I mean, that guy, no way.
Yeah. So
Bogish is the worst.
That was an interesting promo. That's all I'll say. It's just interesting.
It sounded great, though.
I'm glad Manny compared himself to Taylor Swift. We have called him the Taylor Swift of the newsroom before.
Everybody calls me that.
Yeah.
Down the hall for him, especially.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever called you that.
Well, agree to disagree.
Yeah, there's 0% chance anyone's ever called you that. Anyway, we'll take a break. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio next. We will get to a news brief. But first up, he's from a Tone Pitch show.
Oh, damn.
I'm just kidding. I love everyone. I love everybody. Love everybody. And I get what you guys are trying to do there. But I saw that video and I was like, ooh. I was like, a little interesting right there. Here is Manny Rodriguez.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right. righty, news brief time of the Zach Gelb Show. And this portion of our program is sponsored by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else is second. I want to start off with John Calipari. So John Calipari's Arkansas team with Pig Suey is going back to Lexington this week, where they're going up against the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend. So it's the return of John Calipari in Lexington. And this is John Calipari on his return to Rupp Arena coming up later on this week.
We're going to have three players to play there. My guess is they're going to get booed. My guess is I'm going to get booed. And you all say it, oh, yeah. But that's all part of it. I mean, shoot, you get booed. I've done this so long. How could I tell you, I got bazooka holes in my body. So when you shoot arrows, it doesn't even hit skin. It just goes through one of those bazooka holes. But it'll be interesting. It's can't say I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to coaching. But to walk in and, you know, the vibe, I don't know how I'm going to take it, to be honest with you. I mean, that was a special time in my life. 15 years we gave. 15.
I think it's kind of lame if Big Blue Nation doesn't give him a standing ovation. If they're booing him, there will be people that are going to boo. But I think it's really lame because most of you wanted Calipari gone. So Calipari leaves. I know he goes to another SEC school. It's Arkansas. All right? And I get it. Right? He takes some of those players. So it wasn't the ideal ending. But you can't be mad with someone for realizing, hey, the writing was on the wall. And he was going to be back next year if he wanted to. And he ended up going and taking the Arkansas job. So that, to me, from afar, it's like, all right, you wanted this guy out. Would you rather have him come back next year instead of go to Arkansas? I don't think you would have. So I think with the guy that's won a championship there, it wasn't as great as what you thought it was going to be. He should still get a round of applause, but I'm sure it's going to be nasty. Let's get to Julian Edelman. He was on the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. And he talked about all the bitching and complaining about the Chiefs getting all the preferential treatment from the refs.
It's apparent when you're on top, everyone wants to try to bring you down. It's a bunch of bull loney.
Nice.
That the league is helping the Kansas City Chiefs. If you got a problem with it, go beat them. Okay, the refs aren't involved in when you throw interceptions, when you fumble the ball, when you jump off sides, when you don't convert third down or fourth down or third and fourth down for short four times. They can't control that. Like, if you want to beat them, go beat them. Don't talk about it. Be about it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say that about the Chiefs.
So off of that, let's go to Dean Blandino. What show is he on? Who's this guy? I never think I heard of him before. The DH show with Babchik on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio. Our pals, of course, Damon Amendola and Mike Babchik. They had Dean Blandino on, and they asked him, is the NFL rigged?
My brother, who is convinced that the league is rigged, that is convinced that I signed an NDA. I signed an NDA when I left the league office that I cannot tell anybody that it's rigged because I was head of officiating. We grew up in the same household, by the way.
Wow.
I said, listen, there's no conspiracy. The officials, there's too many variables. There's too much going on. To me, it's the hardest sport when you think about football with seven different officials to say, okay, I'm going to rig this game or the game is rigged from the league office down. The officials are just trying to get it right.
That's great audio. My own brother is such a conspiracy theorist that he believes I signed a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't even admit that. Imagine Thanksgiving's in that house with Dean Blandino. Let's go to the Bills GM, Brandon Bean, on the officiating versus the Chiefs.
It's frustrating. You know, there's only so much I can say. We work with the league to try to get clarity, and I'll give them credit. They've taken our calls. They've sent video and things like that. I just, you know, I wish, you know, if you're talking about like the fourth down play, that was, I feel like he got that. And I still feel like he got that. I felt that in the moment. And nothing has changed my mind on that. You know, the play that we challenged, I thought was a good challenge. I think, I'm not sure either player had possession on the Bishop Worthy play. What is possession and what
Matt says is possession might not be what Elena says is possession. You know what I mean? It's a little bit. But when the ball touches the ground, someone has to have established possession. And they've given how they see it, and that's their job. But it is what it is. I mean, that's by no means are we saying that's why we lost the game.
So I don't think that the Chiefs won that game because of the officiating. The officiating wasn't perfect. I didn't love the officiating. I understand that Brandon Bean's doing an end-of-the-year press conference, so he's got to address it and then be done with it. But I hear that, like, the Bills I read today were talking to the league off. What is that going to do? So league office can say, oh, we maybe got this one wrong. And then what? You still lost the game. So I don't think that the NFL's like, hey, let's give the Chiefs all the calls. But do the Chiefs get some calls that you go, makes you think that way? Yeah, you do. But ultimately, I don't think the game is rigged. All righty. Sometimes older people say some things that used to be a term when they were growing up. And it's completely different. Here is Jerry Jones. You be the judge.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes. Very low percentage.
Smiles and what?
Smiles and glory holes.
Sorry. Did he say what I think he just said? Go ahead, Stu, one more time.
Smiles and glory holes.
So I went into the archives of Reddit, and this is what someone explained. Miners would use the term glory hole for a spot in the ground that would yield an exponential amount of gold, oil, whatever natural resources they were looking for. Jerry, I don't think you should be using the term glory hole and using it the way that you think you're using it. Because the
smiles
rest of the world...
and glory holes.
The rest of the world is like, huh? What did you just say? Smiles and glory holes?
Smiles and glory holes.
I can't wait till Jerry Jones is like sitting down eating his McDonald's sandwich that he eats with his 10,000 pounds of salt on it. And like, why am I going to backlash you saying the word, glory holes? I'm just trying to sit back and use that that minor term. That's something. That audio is rich. Rich. That's all I'll say. Alrighty. We'll get to Cam Newton next. He'd rather have his league MVP than a Super Bowl. Do you agree? We get to that when we come on back.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.